Good morning, everyone. And a special happy Father's Day to all the fathers present here today. I reckon, in general, most fathers do a lot for their family. But there are some things that fathers don't do well. I saw a list not long ago that recorded the top four embarrassing things that fathers do. So see whether or not these things apply to your dad. At number four on the list of embarrassing things that dads do, bad dancing. Yes, it usually happens at wedding receptions and perhaps a birthday party. When the dads hit the dance floor, it's hard to predict what moves will be made. And having attended a few East Timorese functions, I know what that looks like. At number three on the list, a bad habit, stinking out the bathroom. Now, they say in Vietnam that eating sweet potato can make that problem worse. Number two, bad fashion. How many of you would say that your dad makes great fashion choices? Not many. And coming in at number one on the list of top embarrassing things that dads do, bad jokes. Yes, dads might come up with some good ones, but the frequency of bad jokes is usually quite high as well. They might have many bad habits, but we wouldn't be here without them, really. Not only was your dad instrumental in you being conceived as a child, but for most of us, our dads have done a lot to help us grow into the people that we are today. For most families, dad going off to work to bring home money to support the family is vital for the health of the family economy. In most families, the main breadwinner is the father. For those of you who have had a dad who worked hard, think about how many hours he has spent up till now or over his working life just working. For most fathers, it literally adds up to tens of thousands of hours. It's a sacrifice that most fathers are prepared to make for the sake of their family, especially for the sake of their children. In Luke chapter 11, after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus used an illustration about friends and fathers as an encouragement for us to keep praying to our Heavenly Father. So let's consider the friend illustration in verses 5 to 8. Imagine you have a friend who has just arrived at your place. It was a long journey, so he's arrived late at night. The only problem is you haven't gone shopping that day and you don't have any food to give him. It's close to midnight and all the shops are closed. What can you do to get food to give your friend? You decide to walk across the street to where one of your best friends lives. You knock on his door, no answer. So you knock again and raise your voice in the hope that your friend will hear you. You tell him, "Mate, I need some bread," or whatever you might have to feed a hungry friend who has just arrived after a long journey. But it's midnight and your friend isn't impressed at being woken up. He says, "Don't bother me at this awful hour. I'm in bed and the kids are asleep. Can't it wait until the morning?" It's natural to expect your friend might respond in that way. But Jesus says, even though the friend will not get up and give you anything simply because he's your friend, yet if you impudently persist in asking and keep knocking at his door, what's he going to do? He'll put on his dressing gown, get out of his bed, find some food, and give it to you. This parable illustrates the famous principle recorded in verses 9 and 10. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened up. Friends, if we want blessing from God, we have to keep praying. We've got to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. All of us want to be blessed. All of us want eternal life. But how often do we pray for those things in our prayers? How persistent are we in prayer? That's a good indication of the strength of our faith. If you haven't been praying for those things, you really need to question how much you really want those things. If we're persistent in prayer, God will definitely hear and act. But is praying to God exactly like waking up a friend in the middle of the night and begging him so much that he has to give in to what we want? Is praying persistently like twisting God's arm somehow and forcing him to give in to our will? That's one way we could understand Jesus' illustration. But that would be to misunderstand the point of this parable. The point is, we need to be persistent in asking. When it comes to God's character, the thing is, he isn't like the guy asleep in the bed who doesn't really want to get up and help his friend. To help us see this, Jesus gives us a second illustration. It's written in verses 11 and 12, and it has to do with fathers. What father among you, Jesus asks, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Do you think your father would do that? If you asked for dad to give you food to eat, would he make you drink poison? Most fathers only want what's best for their children. Most fathers go out day after day exercising their muscles or their brains, and sometimes both, just to make money in order to provide for their children. And most fathers do it without complaining because they want to provide. They might not be the smoothest talkers, the fanciest dressers, or the nimblest dancers, but they're prepared to break their backs for their wife and children. Deep down, they love providing every piece of fish and every morsel of egg that their children consume. And the point of this illustration about fathers, Jesus explains it for us in verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you get the point of what Jesus is saying here? If earthly fathers who struggle with sin and who aren't perfect know how to give good things to their children, then how much more is that true of our Heavenly Father who is perfect? Never ever think that God doesn't want to shower his blessings down upon his children. At times, we may have to wait. We may have to keep on asking. But in the end, if we're asking for God to fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit to energize us in serving him, God will answer our prayer. If your earthly father was a good dad, then your dad is a small picture of our Heavenly Father, the bigger and better version of what a father is all about. Our Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to his children. Our job is to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. For one day, what we're asking for will be given. What we're seeking for, it will be found. And the door on which we're knocking will be opened up for us.